Expo Bomb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
I'm hearing voices, animal voices, the tremor of cold, the feminine others, still reaching my threshold, staring at the truth till I'm blind.
Hello, wonderful world of the after rot and the internet and all that other fun stuff that's out there in the wide, wide world of, hey, what is that? I don't know. It kind of looks kind of fuzzy, kind of looks kind of crazy, kind of looks like electronic. Tonight we have a special guest on the show. We have Bailey Hunter from Dark Recesses Press joining us today. Hi, Bailey. How's it going?
Not too bad. Good evening. It's 6 o'clock here, or no, 7 o'clock here, 9 o'clock there, 6, 7, whatever, late.
Whatever time it is, as long as we're not late for dinner, right?
Time is irrelevant. It's not a real thing anyways.
Precisely. It is just a concept executed by some two hairy guys in some country. I don't know where they even came up with it.
Yeah.
I think they were. I don't know. I'm not going to really comment about them. So, I understand you have some big news that happened as of April the 1st.
Yeah, and it wasn't even a joke. Dark Recesses Press acquired Bellfire Press out of Manitoba, and along with it, 20 new titles, which is fantastic for us, and good for Bellfire Press because it means that their authors had a home to go to. So, yes, very excited about it.
So who were some of these authors that came across, other than myself?
You, of course. We've got Kim Paffenroth, David Dunwoody, Michael Hultquist, K.V. Taylor, Mike Orr, Sean Otzel, Christine Morgan, David Day, J. Aaron Parrish, Natasha Smith, Gigi Nielsen, and Jillian Deuce. Now, Jillian's actually from Australia, which I find quite interesting.
Boy.
And yeah, and a couple of these, Gigi Nielsen and Natasha Smith, I believe, are both from, oh, in my little corner of the world in BC, which is kind of nice as well.
So you're in BC then?
I am Canadian.
Which stands for because?
You know, it stands for bring cash.
Oh, hey, that's good too.
Yep.
I was going to stick with because, but bring cash worked good too.
Yeah, BC, the expensive province of Canada.
Well, most of it. Well.
Yeah, no, it's expensive to live here. We're paying for the weather.
Let's see, Vancouver, Victoria, and Chilliwack. I know those three, and those three are all expensive.
Yeah, that's impressive.
I've been to all three of those.
Oh.
Sorry, I haven't been to Victoria. I have a aunt that lives in Victoria now.
Ah, there you go.
It's a weird place. That's all I have to say about it.
Yeah, well, it's an island. What do you expect?
It's a weird place. I'm going to leave it at that. The majority of these book and authors that came across, what are they? Like, what kind of genre would we call them?
I would say dark fiction. There's some urban fantasy that's in there, supernatural, preternatural, so that's always fun. Sean also has a youth book. It's a youth fiction, which is great. It's called The Adventures of Captain Kitchen. So that's quite exciting. I'm quite happy to have that because I've really wanted to expand Dark Recesses into the young adult and youth market. So it's really nice to be able to do that right off the bat. And then actually Gigi Nielsen is also going to be providing, she's actually got, we're going to be publishing her book. It hasn't come out yet, called The End in the Beginning, which is also a youth book. And it has a lot of First Nations themes in it,
nice.
Speaking with the animals, so it's very nice. It's going to be a nice addition as well, so that's exciting for us.
Does she have any skinwalkers in that book?
I don't think so.
Sorry, that's the only real horror thing that I know for First Nation stuff, but I like those. They're pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I like the idea that all kinds of cultures and nationalities and things can be brought into different types of storylines and stuff, because guess what, that's where a lot of that stuff originally starts from, is old,
absolutely
old stories.
Absolutely. And it's I'm really liking the diversity that we're pulling in. Everything has a dark side to it, which is great because that is what Dark Recesses is. It's not specifically horror so much as it is just dark. We do tend towards more of, I want to say, darkness as a feeling, not as like, there's not, we don't do really excessive work. There's places for splatterpunk and stuff like that, so we probably don't do a lot of that.
What? But, no splatterpunk?
Well, you know what? If the story is really good, I'm not going to say absolutely no, but I can say that that's generally probably not our niche.
Oh, I was being facetious because I watch a lot of splatter horror movies, not necessarily read any of it.
Yeah, well, hey, like I say, there's places for all of that. The whole reason I started Dark Recesses in the first place is because my horror was too quiet. It was too loud for any kind of literary type of thing, but it was far too quiet for a lot of the horror magazines that were out there at the time. So I thought, well, this is ridiculous. I need a place to put this, and I can't be the only one. So cool. I figured I'd create something. And, of course, then I couldn't submit to it, but it didn't matter because I was helping other people find a home, and well, that was more important.
You could submit to it, but then it would be
Nah, weird. that's not my kind of thing.
I'm in the same thing. It's like, okay, if I were to edit an anthology, it's like, no, I'm not going to put anything in here except maybe some prologue stuff, and then that's it. That's just like starter stuff.
Yep, that's how it should be, at least in my own opinion.
Yep. So does that mean that that's how you started with the Dark Recesses Press? I don't know, was it called like a magazine or a yearly thing or an anthology?
It was a magazine. I started it back in 2005, and yeah, actually it was that was still writing for the Horror Library at that time, and we were looking at putting together a magazine, and there was 12 of us. And if you've ever tried to get a decision on anything with 12 people, you know how that goes. And I just went, well, this is ridiculous. I'm doing it. So I did it and grabbed a couple of the people from the Horror Library that I worked well with. And we put out our first issue October 2005.
Wait a second. I recall the Horror Library.
Oh, yeah. We were one of the first online, I want to say e-zines, basically, because we were one of the first ones to monthly publish horror stories, like 12 horror stories and usually about 5 additional guest writers. And yeah, so we were the first ones to do that, or very close to one of the first ones to do that. And then, yeah, cool. So Dark Recesses sort of grew out of that. We created, it was digital to begin with, and then we went to print. We had 13 issues in total come out. And then in about 2013, I guess, I sort of closed it down for a year, regrouped, and came back with books instead. The first one coming from Vince Churchill, and it was Hyde, which is an erotic noir kind of crime thriller,
which and is funny dark. Because the banner on your website just pulled that up as you were speaking. It's like, oh yeah, that one.
Yeah, and that one people really like. Their only complaint about it ever is it's not long enough, we want more. So that's a good complaint to have.
Indeed it is.
So I've got two other tales from Vince. Goodnight My Sweet, which is I almost want to say it's an adventure because it's cross-country drive. He's racing against time and sleep to get back to his wife before everything ends. And it's an adventure in following him on his trip back home. And the other one we just put out this year, it was Midnight Eternal, which is a anti-hero, very, very dark, sex, violence, graphic, superheroes, demons. It's got some illustrations throughout. It's a fun story. It's definitely a very dark one, but it's fun.
Can I read the blurb off the website?
You can.
A dark superhero novel that makes Sin City seem like child's play. Midnight Eternal is bound to leave you breathless in its wake. Beautifully illustrated throughout to fully engulf all your senses. That's me being weird.
It was lots of fun. I had fun putting it together. I'm reading it and I'm like, wow. So had to do it.
And that came out last year?
That came out last year, and the year prior to that was The Redeemers from Kate Morgan. It's actually her first foray into horror. And again, I would call it's a dystopian tale. And also, I would say probably another adventure, because she's on a quest to find some information and to kick some ass.
Nice. Love dystopian stuff. And that stuff is being more popular nowadays as well with all the, why can't I remember the name? Allegiant? Scorch Trials, that whole series of movies and stuff. And those ones, as you were saying earlier, they all segue into a YA audience. And I don't know if we all know, but I know, and I'm sure you know, that YA is where the money is right now in a lot of books, because that market is just super, hey, give us more.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I know that even when my daughter was a teenager, always series, wanted series, because she didn't want to stop, right? She just wanted more and more and more. So whenever a series ended, then it was a quest to find the next one that was worth devouring. Yeah. So
that's why Harry Potter was so popular. Like, they just kept gobbling it up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, we have lots of Harry Potter in this house.
I could never get into the Harry Potter, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right.
Just wasn't my cup of tea. But cool. So how many books would you say you have published out right now?
We have 4 out right now. We have a 5th that's coming out in July from Lucas Peterson. It's definitely another horror. It's called Fall to Rise, and it's a struggle that a fella has as he's being possessed by both sides of heaven and hell. So it's pretty interesting. And then we have, with the new acquisition, we've gained 20 titles on top of that. I've got 3 poetry titles, one including yours.
I was just going to ask, how many poets and how many poet books do we have?
We have 3 altogether. We've got yours, Separate and Succinct, Disparate and Distinct, and then Brian Dietrich, we have Prime Directive and The Monstrance. So it's just the 3 at this point.
And mine has the most difficult title to say repeatedly.
You can say it again. You can say it correctly for me.
Well, Separate and Succinct, Disparate and Distinct.
There you go.
Just so you know, it's my 2nd poetry book, and the whole idea is all the titles are actually a poem. There will be a 3rd book as well, and that will be the 3rd stanza in that poem.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, it was meant to be weird. It's like, I don't think anybody will figure it out on their own. It's like, maybe one day I'll just mention it. I was like, oh, hey, why don't I just mention it out?
There you go.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
Yeah.
I was quite excited to see your name on the list of authors that might be joining our ranks. So that was a happy day for me. It was actually really nice to see all the authors. I was quite pleased. It's like, I know all these people.
Well, Bellfire has been a good press. I mean, they've been good with me for the book that I have with them. And mm-hmm. I've heard never anything bad about them. So it's like, it's always been a good relationship for me.
Yeah, and it seems like everybody's had basically the same opinion. So it was really nice to be able to work with Jody to bring everything over. Because I know I'm getting a good legacy, not a negative one.
Right.
So that's always positive. And like I say, having the wide and varied different styles coming in and the different avenues coming in is great, because I really did want to diversify a bit. And so having that option is really nice without having to reinvent the wheel to do it.
Cool. And I read earlier that you also do cover design and print design stuff.
Oh, yes.
As a separate thing.
I do it as a separate thing, and I also do it basically for all of our books. There's a duck. I do all the cover design for all of the books that are currently with Dark Recesses, and I'm probably going to be doing a lot of redesigns on the covers that we're doing, that I'll be reissuing with this acquisition, just to make them more in line with our you know, what ours look like.
Right.
So, I mean, there's some that I'll keep, leave as they are just because they're fun. But there's several that I'm probably going to be switching over as well.
Switching over. Danger. Danger, yep. Will Robinson. Danger. Cool. So I did have this one question here on my list of, hey, let's talk about this. Okay. So what other kinds of things do you have for the future as far as where Dark Recesses is going?
Well, aside from the book from Gigi and the book from Lucas, there's another book called Nuada coming out from Jillian Deuce, and that's also a brand new one. And then on top of that, we are looking at resurrecting the magazine. And we are hoping to have that for the first issue to come out once again in October.
As a monthly or as a yearly?
No, as a quarterly.
A quarterly, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, no, there's no way that I could do a monthly. That was... one person.
That's a lot, because... and I'm trying to remember the name. Why can't I remember the name? Why can't I remember the name right now? Necrotic Tissue was a magazine that was put... Actually, it was my first short story ever got published. And he used to do that. And he put out a nice-sized, thick magazine. It's like book size. But he was doing it every month. And I was like, that's insane.
Yeah. Well, for one, I just found, like, we did it quarterly before, and that provided enough submissions to really pick the content that we wanted. It gives you enough time to do the readings. It gives you enough time to do the setup. And I also like to have artwork accompany several of the pieces inside, if not all of them.
Right.
And so that is something that I will probably be looking at as well, just because I think stories deserve art. I think they complement each other. So if I can at least have one piece of art too for each story, that would be awesome. So
cool. I would concur with the visual aspect of that.
Yeah, and then also, you know, you've got your nonfiction and sourcing artists. Last time we had covers that were brought to us from literally around the world. So, and same with the fiction inside came from all over different corners of the world. It was never just North America. So, and I hope that we're able to do that again. I really miss the magazine. I think it's a great place, and I'm a big fan of the short story, so providing a home for the short story always makes me happy.
And poetry, right?
Of course.
Okay, good.
I didn't have poetry in the magazine before, but you know, now that I've acquired some, I should probably be more open.
This is me digging. It's like, yeah, get for the opportunities going here. Let's go for the gusto. Yeah.
Yeah, I just need people that are better qualified to choose. Because I have very particular standards when it comes to poetry, and it's not always going to meet what's out there. So.
Uh-oh.
I like succinct.
Oh, okay. I guess I shouldn't tell you about my one poem that's
it's 12 pages long? It's not a poem. Yeah, so it's a story.
It's just five chapters of a story.
Set in a poetic form, yeah.
Precisely.
Well, if Edgar Allan Poe can get away with it, I suppose you can.
Oh, okay, thanks. okay, cool. So now we can go into the whole, okay, so small publisher, vanity publishers, self-publishing, and big publishing questions.
Okay.
So... like, from the author's perspective, obviously, we all have our own preconceived notions as to what each of these levels of publishing is like. You being an actual publisher, you probably have a slightly different view of how some of the differences between those levels of publishing go. What would you say is, like, some of the better things to look at from?
Okay, so what do I think is... I think indie publishers probably provide a much more personalized level of what they're doing. So, like, they're talking to all of their authors personally. Like, you know who's in charge. You know who's in hand. Yeah. And so they provide that personal situation. They're probably a lot easier to get a hold of. Of course, they can't offer the same things that a larger publication can or a larger publisher can, because they're limited, right? They're limited by the number of people that are on board and just by their finances. So there's always that transition as they start very small, and then if they can expand and grow, it's a process. But with each process, you start adding more people, which means you start adding more layers between you and your authors and that sort of thing.
Cool.
Hello?
That's yeah, no, I'm here. Are you still here?
Yeah, it just got really quiet for a second.
Oh, okay. Well, the way my microphone works is if I'm not making any noise, it just goes sort of like semi-mute. Which is good, because I might like crack my knuckles or whatever, and then that will just pick it right up. It's a very sensitive mic.
There you go.
Yeah, it's fun. So, yeah. I mean...
Be specific.
Yeah, I'm trying to wrangle the head. I read at the same time as I'm talking here and all this. So, I mean, the whole perspective of the publisher is to do a good job getting a book out. And the author is to bring a good product to the publisher to be able to get it out. What do you think about comparing to being as a publisher versus being a self-published, like using the self-publishing model?
I think the self-publishing model has grown. I think it has the it has viability, obviously. At this particular time, it does lack some certain rules, regulations, checks and balances. You know, like people will throw stuff out there thinking, well, I've edited, I've gone through it 15 times. And it's like, yes, but no, you need somebody else to look at your work. You need to have a professional do that. And it's the same with cover design. You need to have somebody, because people do judge a book by its cover. And I think it's really important that people recognize this. And I've seen so many bad covers, it makes my head hurt.
Okay, no, I have to interject on that one. And you don't have to answer this if you don't want to. What's one of the worst you've ever seen?
One of the worst? I can't say that.
Okay,
sorry.
Fine.
I've redone it, so I can't say it.
Oh, so it's one that you actually worked on. Oh, okay.
They came to me and asked me if I would. But, I mean, I've seen some where it's literally Photoshops and they've got, they're capped and they've got things. It's like, no, stop that. Don't do that. Don't, just stop.
Do they use Sans Serif?
Comic Sans? Comic Sans or Papyrus or any of the ones that, it's like, even now when I see somebody who uses Bleeding Cowboy, and it's like, now everybody knows this font. It came out and then all of a sudden everybody has this font, so don't use that font. Just stop that. I just want to smack your hands. Step away. And the other thing that, like, but the nice thing about self-publishing is that if you have an author who has gone the route of self-publishing and now they've come to you, they understand the importance of self-marketing. Because with a smaller publisher, they are not going to have somebody who's dedicated specifically to marketing your book and shipping you here and there. So having somebody who knows how to promote themselves is, and I know that authors tend to be somewhat recluse and somewhat quiet sometimes.
Oh, come on. Shy?
That's what happens when you have a hobby that requires just you. But you need people to be able to sell themselves. And some people are really great at it. Some people are not very good at it. And some people are almost offended when you ask them to say, are you going to be able to promote yourself? Like, don't be offended.
Sorry, I giggle at that because I've met some of them.
Yeah. It's like, why do I have to promote myself? Because it's your book. You want it to be, you know, you want it out there, right? And you want people to know about it. And so let's work together and make that happen. So
think about it as you're providing a service. Yes, you're providing a service. But guess what? Nobody else is going to care about that service until you let people know that that service is available. Then when they know that it's available, you have to keep supporting them because that's what the service is about.
Exactly. And besides, you should be proud and, you know, talk about your work and share it out there and be willing to do readings and stuff like that. So
Oh, heck yeah.
I know that it's difficult for some people, and so you try to sort of gauge where their level is and try to work within that. But it's the one nice thing about people who self-publish and they do it quite regularly or they've had some experience, they understand the value of self-promotion, which is good.
And when you're talking about self-promotion, you're talking not just Facebook or Twitter.
I'm talking about, I don't live in your community, so you know which bookstores that are there, the library, what kind of reading options they have. Does your local pubs have an open mic night where you can go and read and bring your books, things like that. If you know that there's local conventions in your area, let me know and we can work with that kind of stuff to get you there and to at least get you have books and stuff like that, because I can't be everywhere, but you are aware of what's around you, so I need my authors to be open and willing to go places and, yeah, that sort of thing.
What about joining associations?
Joining associations, if they want to, absolutely. I mean, for me, I tend to be very on the side of the HWA.
Yep.
But
same here.
I'm quite happy with the HWA in general, and so if they join that, I think it's probably a very healthy thing for them. At least at the very bottom, they will get some excellent connections and a better understanding of things. Like, they'll know what's going on. They'll have some different places that they can submit and link to. And, at the top, they have great mentorship program. And, hey, they could even win an award. So,
well, just for the people who are not listening to the show every time I'm on, the HWA stands for the Horror Writers Association.
All right. Yes. Sorry.
No worries. And it's funny because we just had our Ontario chapter meeting last night. It's a good tool to network with people, but you got to actually go to the meetings and go to the events and actually participate. Because, like you were saying earlier about marketing yourself, if you don't engage and if you don't participate in the process of after the product has been created and made available, nobody's going to care.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can start, like, very simple, easy to relate. You can start a Facebook page. You can, invite, like, three of your closest friends. But if you don't actually engage with anybody, it doesn't matter. You can gather 1,700 friends, but you're not going to talk to... If you don't talk to anybody, you won't have that many. And you won't have a clue about what's going on, and they won't help you in anything, so...
Exactly. And on Facebook, one of my favorite people to watch every once in a while is Jonathan Mayberry. Now, he is a big name now in the writing industry.
Yep.
Huge, popular, big name. But he still daily goes onto Facebook and interacts with people.
Yeah, and he's not interacting in buy my book, buy my book, buy my book.
Right.
He's actually interacting. I think that's important, too, that people need to understand that part of self-promotion is actually promoting self, not necessarily your work, so that when you do put out your information about your work, people are interested in that because they're interested in you.
Exactly. And I look at it as a little bit more on top of that, is now that they have found your work and they are interested in your work, now they're going to be more interested in you and they want to know more about you because it makes them feel more connected to you and your book that you're putting out, and that actually helps create that synergy going through.
Yeah, absolutely.
Somebody's talking about my monster Cookie Monster book. Okay, right. okay, so very, very, very important question. Are you ready? Are you ready for this? What kind of cookies?
For me?
Yes.
Oatmeal cranberry.
Good God. Okay. Two of my not-so-cookie things.
What are your not-so-cookie things? I'm not big on, like, chocolate chip cookies, so.
Okay, you're in Canada, so you know what Fudgios are.
Basically, yeah.
Okay. Those would be my favorite cookie.
Well, I can see that. They're mostly chocolate, so why not?
Fudge. Yeah. Hit me with it. Okay, so second most important question. What is the role of coffee in your life?
Are you kidding me? My Twitter name is Slave to Coffee. I think that pretty much says it all.
Okay, so you drink a little bit of coffee.
I drink a bit of coffee. It's kind of I've tried to tone it down a bit, but the reality is that when you're working, you know, day and night, you need something that's going to keep you going, and, you know, it is the elixir of life, so.
See, I would argue that Coca-Cola is, but I'll give you your coffee as long as I get the cola.
You can have the cola.
Excellent.
You can absolutely have it. Yeah.
All the cola is mine.
All the cola is yours, unless you put rum in it, and then I might.
No, I'm more likely to put Jack Daniels in it if I'm going to put anything in it.
Ah, yes.
But not very often, so meh. So I, being a publisher, are you open for submissions?
Not at this particular second.
Okay.
We will be once the magazine is up, and I don't want to take any submissions for books right now. I've gotten like several just with the transition. I've gotten several. So I sort of have to go through that and figure that out. But we will be opening up for submissions for the magazine. We're just grabbing our slashers.
Slash.
Sorry. It's so much easier to read it than to say it. But yeah, so we need some people to just basically cull the piles before we can move forward. But we're looking at trying to open up submissions in June.
Cool. And yeah. What are you looking for in a slasher?
We actually do have on our website, it's darkrecessespress.com. There's a page for it. And we just need somebody who, first of all, enjoys reading horror. Or dark fiction, because you're going to get lots of different kinds. Somebody who has the time to read at least 3 to 5 submissions on average per day. It may not be that high, but it's, you know, it's important that you have the ability to do that, and who is fine with the fact that they cannot submit while they're reading. If they're a slush pile person, then they can't submit.
Gotcha.
Because it just wouldn't be fair. And they just basically want to get it's. I find it's really good for somebody who's especially just learning how to write or just getting into the writing game, because it's an excellent way to discover different kinds of writing styles as well as what works and what doesn't. Because the more you read, the more you recognize what is working and what isn't working, and especially in short fiction, because you only have a very short space to say what you need to say, and you need to make it have a beginning, middle, and end.
You're one of those people. Beginning, middles, and ends. What the hell?
Yeah. No, if I just want all middle, I'll read literary work. Thank you.
Oh, come on. Poetry. Poetry.
No, my poetry has the same, too, so.
Oh, I'm just joking.
Poetry always has a crescendo, right? It's got to have its energy.
It's got elements.
Yes, I like poetry.
Okay, cool. Mostly I was drawing you out on the slush slasher because I might have a suggestion for you.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I'll mention it later.
Oh, okay. See, now you got me all peaked.
Well, I know somebody who has the time to do stuff like that, and, you know, they can do that. They're in the chat room, so hopefully they'll get the message I'm trying to convey to them.
Yeah, slush slashers.
Slush slash!
Yeah,
you can
exactly.
Get a little button that says, I'm a slush slasher!
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the thing is that they, such a value, their value to any kind of, like, a magazine is so high. Like, when we ran it before, it was so important because they start to work with people and they start to understand what you need and what you're looking for. And it's helpful to have them just pare things down because you get a lot of stuff and a lot of stuff that really isn't ready. And also, it's a lot of work. It really is a lot of work. If you're going to be a reader, you know, you get to read a lot of great new things, and you also get to read a lot of things that you're just like, oh, God, make it stop. You know, and everybody's got to start somewhere, right? And
true.
Kudos to the people who are submitting, even if they're not quite ready yet, because it's helpful for them as well, right? They're learning, they're growing, and they've got to start somewhere. So, you know, kudos to them as well. But when you're the one that's reading it, if you're plowing through 300 submissions a month, it can get a bit, you know, some days. But then they also are the ones that get to see those gems, the ones that actually end up getting published because they were so good. They're the first people to see them, really, like, you know, beyond, you know, that maybe whoever wrote it's wife or
beyond their
kids
alpha readers or what beta readers and whatever else.
Yeah.
So,
but like the people who are going to see it before it's put out towards the actual public. So it's kind of nice to be able to see that. And also, you know, they're going to watch people who come in and rise. In our original, Benjamin Etheridge, he was one of our initial submitters, and I think we got like some of his very first short fiction that was ever published, and then he went on to win a Bram Stoker Award and everything else, and he's an amazing writer, and it's interesting to watch, and it's nice to see that happen, and they're going to get to see the same thing. They're going to get to see people that they're going to start recognizing their names and then watching them grow, and all very exciting.
Very exciting, and I agree with your point there earlier about, new writers sometimes, no hard two ways to say it, they might suck, but the only way they get better is being told that sucked. And it's like,
absolutely.
Oh, I should try again. Okay, yeah. Never get discouraged. Never take it personal. It's all part of the learning curve.
That's right. If you're going to choose to be a writer, you are going to have to learn how to take rejection.
Oh, yeah. It's like fat, oh, yeah.
Yeah. And not take it in a personal way. Yes, it's happening to something that's very personal to you, but you have to learn to separate yourself and recognize what that information is. And if you have, you know, and if they get back to you and they provide some pointers or some suggestions, that's gold.
Mm-hmm.
Take it, right? Mm-hmm. Don't be angry by it. Don't be upset by it. I've had authors say thank you so much for that information, and I've had authors saying,
other words,
very much the opposite.
Yes.
And I always sort of sit back and smile and go, all right, well, good for you, you know, good luck. I know some people will blacklist if somebody gets a little bit uppity like that. I tend not to blacklist unless they're really, really, really offensive. Because, you know, maybe they were just having a bad day. They sent that letter and they couldn't get it back, so.
Oh, I've heard a couple of stories about people on both sides of that equation. It's like, okay, dude, you could have just mellowed out a bit and asked for clarity, or you could have just walked away from it instead of burning that whole house down. Yeah, not so much sometimes. So, now I can hear you typing.
Yeah. War Dog's asking, but what if they have no idea about punctuation and grammar and shit like that? And I'm like, well, it depends on what you're talking about. Are you talking about the readers or are you talking about the writers?
Oh, he's talking about Jack.
Jack?
Jack's in the chat room.
Ah, okay.
These are some of our regulars in the chat room right now.
I see.
But that's cool. It's like, for people submitting, when you are open for submitting and doing all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
What would you suggest is some of the best things to be following? I mean, besides read the guidelines.
Well, yeah, I can't stress the submission guidelines. A shocking, shocking number of people do not read submission guidelines. I get really frustrated. Also, I'm a woman. Just so that everybody's up there that hears this, I am female, so it's Ms. Bailey Hunter, not Mr. Hunter. That's always nice.
How often
nice.
Do you get that?
All the time.
Oh,
all
really?
The time. Even when I have a picture on there, it's amazing that people still address Mr. Hunter. Why would a woman be a publisher?
I have a quick question for you, because this is something I've started doing. I've stopped using the prefix. I would just put Bailey Hunter.
Mm-hmm, that's fine.
Okay.
That works. I'm totally down with that, because you never know. It is an ambiguous name, and I get that. So if you didn't know, it's always safer to just leave it off. And then Dark Recesses tends towards more, like the magazine will definitely be leaning towards more, I want to say, slipstream, speculative fiction, but also very much on the dark side. Think more British horror, versus, Friday the 13th.
You're so. Canadian, aren't you?
I am.
See,
I am. So if you send me something in UK spelling, it will stay in UK spelling. I will not Americanize it.
Good.
I will accept American spelling and leave it as it is. But yeah, no.
But you won't like color spelled C-O-L-O-U-R, and then the next paragraph C-O-L-O-R.
No, I want it all one. So if
one
you're going to spell it right, spell it right.
Yeah. It's all good. I only mentioned that because you went into the Slipstream. Have you seen that movie Slipstream?
No.
Which is filmed out in Saskatchewan?
No.
With Mark Hamill in it?
Can't say that I have.
It was horrible. I hated that movie.
Yeah?
And it's a Canadian movie. That makes me sad. I'm going to be ragging on a Canadian movie. But, whatever. Right?
I like my horror with a bit of humor, so.
Okay, so let's get an example here.
Dale and Tucker versus Evil.
That is a fantastically awesome movie.
I love that movie. I think it's hilarious.
Dale, what happened?
Funny. Yeah.
These kids just ran into the woodchucker.
I know. Like that just the first one when he runs into that that tree thing, I just laugh so hard.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is funny. And the other one, obviously, Shaun of the Dead,
yes.
Hot Fuzz, those are both quite funny, and I like those quite a bit. I didn't mind Cabin in the Woods. I thought it had some humorous moments in it.
Yes.
So.
Well, I've got a suggestion for you. I just watched this on the weekend.
What's
Attack of the Lederhosen Zombies.
Attack of the Lederhosen Zombies. Where did you see that?
I saw it. It's a I don't know if it's Norwegian or whatever, but it's from over there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I love Norwegian stuff. Like
Troll Hunter? Troll Hunter is a fantastic movie.
I own Troll Hunter. Are you kidding
so
me?
So do I. I love that movie. The one scene with all the goat on the bridge. It's like all of a sudden it's there and then it's gone. It's like, holy shit. And then, boof.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Norwegian films. I think that they know how to do things pretty well. I quite enjoy it.
Dead Snow?
Yeah.
Dead Snow 2?
Dead Snow, no. I haven't seen that one. I looked at it. I wasn't sure if I wanted to watch it or not.
You want to watch it?
Do I?
Oh, there's a scene there where they use a skidoo to just shred somebody.
Oh, see, now that's funny.
Exactly. Especially when it's like, it's the guy who gets it is like, you deserve that.
I'm reading here. They're talking.
That's okay. They're making fun of me, and the fact that I don't like the movie Slipstream.
Oh, wow.
It's like, whatever. You guys know my taste in music, movies, so they know this stuff. They know why I like or dislike these things. At least I would hope so.
Uh-huh.
So... And in general, what would you have as sort of some advice for other authors and stuff in general?
In general, my advice for authors is read, which is, everybody's suggestion. And don't just read in your own genre. I mean, it's good to know what's going on in the genre that you're writing in, but expand your mind, expand what you're taking in, because you'll find different ways and styles to do things. And you might find things that you can pull in. Read weird news. If you're going to do horror, read weird news. Absolutely. Stay away from real news, but,
especially American news right now.
Well, yeah. But weird news has some of, that stuff that's off weird science news and whatnot. There's so many interesting things going on in the world that never actually make mainstream media that provide so many different concepts and ideas for you to pull from. Network, talk to people, make friends. If you go to conventions, at least try to go to one every year, even if it's a small one locally. Try to go to some conventions, because you'll meet people and you'll get to have a better idea of the business side of things, because writing is a business. Even if it's a hobby, it's an art, it's a passion, but it's also a business. And so you can write 1,000 stories and 500 novels, but if you don't put it out there and put yourself out there, you won't it'll just stay in your trunk. And if that's good enough for you, then that's great. But most people write because they want other people to read. So if you're in that area, then you need to get out there and get to know people, shake hands, talk to people, learn a bit more about the business side of things.
Listen to podcasts.
There, yeah. Expand your information everywhere.
Go on podcasts.
This one specifically, of course.
This one more than anything else.
Yeah.
Yes.
I haven't done a lot of podcasts. The only other one that I've done is the horror show with Brian Keene. So.
Oh, good. That's good company to be in.
Yeah.
That's right. He does have a podcast. I think he got that idea from me.
It's quite possible.
Yeah, it might be. I don't know. I'm not going to worry about it. Maybe I should start charging royalties for this idea.
Yeah, good luck. In cookies, I'm sure.
Is there anything you wanted to talk about specifically?
No, I mean, I'm basically just want to talk about Dark Recesses and the fact that we're here and we're serious about what we're doing. I actually started this year going, 2017 is going to be the year of change for Dark Recesses. Last year was a bit of a hell year for me personally, and so I didn't do as much as I wanted to do with the Dark Recesses business. But this year, I just sort of knew that it was going to happen, and it really is getting bigger and bigger. So, and I figure in the next couple of years, we're going to be one to watch and one to be a part of, I believe.
Cool. I had a thought that just went away.
Oh, sorry. That's all right.
Yes, and apparently if you listen to my show, it happens once in a while. Not every episode, Jack.
What?
That's funny. Sorry. I tend to read too many things at the same time as I'm talking because I have like several screens open while I'm doing this stuff. I should probably limit that a little bit because
I'm dedicated just to you, so.
Yay! Don't you feel special? I feel special. So, I wanted to bring you on the show so that I could see what kind of person are you. So my book is going to be, where is it? Oh, it's going to be, okay, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I like having people on the show. I like people talking about all sorts of stuff in different every kind of things. And I find it's very interesting to find out, like, I'm a businessy type person, so I like to know the nuts and bolts of how things work. Right. So, I mean, I like to hear what people are talking about as far as how to do something and how to connect with people and how to get all the regular sort of things going through their processes and stuff. So that's why I like having different people and different kinds of things come on the show.
Makes sense. It's funny. I mean, we've been Facebook friends for a while now.
Several years.
Yes. So, yeah, I was quite... And I've seen your work lots of times, like just publicly posted and stuff like that. So, yeah, I was actually quite happy when I saw that you were on the list of people that might be joining. So.
Excellent. And when you said Horror Library, it's like, wait a sec, Horror Library, didn't they do... I know something from Horror Library.
We have several books out from Horror Library. It's since been moved. It's now owned by Cutting Block Press, is now Cutting Block Books, and is an imprint of Ferrolite Publishing. But they still continue. I actually just finished, just finishing up the cover and inset design for Horror Library Volume 6, which should be out for the Bram Stoker Award weekend in, Long Beach? Down in California this year. Yeah.
At the Queen Mary?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's...
So it should be unveiling down there.
Nice.
Unfortunately, I won't be there this year. I'm going to Scarce at Cares in July.
Well, tell us a little bit about that then.
The Scarce at Care, I'm just going to pull up the information here for myself. I'm doing the dealer's table, so I'll be down in the dealer's table most of the time that I am there. It's the Scares That Care weekend, and it's held in Williamsburg, Virginia, and it's from July 21st to 23rd. They've got celebrities. It's actually more of a media con. But it's going to be good for books because it's going to be for everybody. And they do, they benefit children and women and people who are victims of violence and stuff like that. So their whole goal is to make money to help save people, to help people. So, and that's a fantastic thing that they do. And I'm really happy to throw my money in that direction. Because, yeah, why wouldn't I be? Fighting the real monsters of childhood illness, burns, and breast cancer by helping families that are experiencing these extraordinary hardships cope with their financial burdens. That's what they're doing right now. And that's where their money is going to, which is fantastic.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm finding more and more, and part of the whole raising awareness for individual authors and companies and stuff like that, is involvement in doing events like this. Scared for Care Weekend is not just about, hey, I'm going to buy my favorite book thing. I'm actually going to help contribute to a charity that's about the community, about people in the area, and things that is like, people are not necessarily always having the best times in their lives.
No, they're not. And to be able to get out there and meet fans, because this is going to be a fan expo in many ways, because there's a lot of celebrities there from the various different TV shows and movies and things like that. So you've got that. So you're going to have fans of the genre there who are going to enjoy themselves. And then the money that's being made, the people that all the tickets that are being purchased, they're enjoying themselves and they're helping people at the same time. And it's the same thing for vendors who are there, you know, promoting their products. They're selling and meeting people and everything else, but they're also, what they're doing is actually going to be making a difference as well. So it's kind of nice to be able to do that and have a double bang on that.
And I just started looking down the celebrities list and I'm looking at the authors. It's like, I know him, I know him, I know her, I know him, I know her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know him. Wait, I know him. And the big question mark coming soon, I don't know that person.
No?
Well, question mark. It's green. I don't know what it says.
It's a surprise.
Surprise!
You, like, you just want to click on it. You want to click on it. But yeah, I know, like, I know several of these people. I love Skip and, you know, Rath and
Joe Lansdale.
Paul Tremblay is an amazing author. I love his work.
Yep, me too.
You know, so it's just, you know, Damien as well. She's nice, beautiful woman, and talented. So, like, there's a lot of talent that's going to be there just on both sides of the events. So,
and yeah. I saw Jeffrey Combs and Sid Haig.
Mm-hmm.
Fun people to meet.
Yep, all sorts of good stuff.
And that's all cool. So,
yeah.
Speaking of conventions, you know I'm going to be at Fan Expo in Toronto, right?
You are.
I am.
And when is that?
Labor Day weekend.
Okay. So you're going to need some books is what you're saying.
Probably. By that time I'll be out of what I have left.
Okay.
Yeah, so unlike some of our your other authors, I actually also have a store.
Oh.
I have a comic book shop that's open on the weekends only. So I sell my book there as well.
Nice.
Yeah, I like it. It surprises people. It's like, wait, you wrote that? It's like, yep, that's my book.
That's my book.
That's my book.
We need to get some of Midnight Eternal in your bookstore.
That could possibly happen.
Yeah.
Yep,
because you know, it's an illustrated. It's not a fully illustrated novel. It's got illustrations throughout.
Right.
But yeah, it's definitely more of a comic book type of story.
Good. That would fit.
Yeah, so, yep.
We can talk about that elsewise.
Yes.
Off the radio, where are the people going to hear me talking about stuff and say, "Oh, the details? That's really cut." No, we don't talk.
No,
about
no, no details.
Sorry, I lost the train of thought there again.
Thanks, that's okay.
Thanks, Jack. I mean, thanks for that train of thought loss. Using big words like misanthropic sociopath.
I was impressed, actually.
I like big words. Big words make me happy.
I like big words and I cannot lie.
Precisely. I have actually used a complete redub version of that song that says that. But we're not going to go there because that would be something else. 5 minutes left for tonight's show, and then we have the lovely people from The Spoon coming on. What? Throw something random out at me. or I'll throw something random at you. You get dealer's choice.
Yeah, throw it at me.
Throw it at you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Favorite song?
No, that totally depends on the day, man.
Oh, okay.
My favorite song, it would pretty much almost anything that's going to be blues or jazz, I probably.
Okay. So somebody who likes some John Lee Hooker, I believe?
Yeah, I enjoy that. I also like old school R&B. Bobby Bland, oh, so beautiful. You know, that's some good stuff right there. But
now, what about TV shows? Are you watching or have you watched Legion?
Legion?
Yes.
That's a TV show.
Yes.
No, then no. Okay. Absolutely not. Yeah, no, I watched the movie Legion. I didn't think it was nearly as bad as everybody says.
Completely different concept. Legion, the TV show, is actually a Marvel superhero character, but it's
I know which one you're talking about. Yes. No, I don't have access to that, so no, I don't watch it. I wanted to watch it, but did not have access to it. So, okay. And then by the time I did, I missed like the first season, so I had no idea what was going on.
Well, the first season just ended last week.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, the thing on the TV only allows me to see, the last episode. It doesn't let me go back to the beginning, so.
I gotcha.
So no way to know what's going on, so it'll have to come to Netflix.
When you get the opportunity, good one.
Okay. TV shows that I do watch, Supernatural, because I'm sorry, but I love my boys and I don't care. The Walking Dead, of course.
Yeah.
I try Preacher, but see, no, you can't talk about The Walking Dead because one of our episodes failed to record, so now we're in a backlog waiting to get that one so that we can carry on forward. So I've been avoiding spoilers. I have no idea what's happening.
It's a good thing I didn't blurt that out then.
Yeah, Preacher was fantastic. I'm looking forward to the next season of that.
Yep.
And I tend to watch a lot of Dead Man shows, so. You know, whodunits and deadmans, give me a body and let me figure out who's done it, serial killers, murderers, that kind of stuff. That tends to be more my watching is, deadman shows.
Okay. I'm trying to think. Well, I guess the OA has a deadman theory in it.
I haven't watched that, For some reason, it just did not pique my interest.
Okay. It's weird. It's convoluted, and then it's what?
Dirk Gently was weird, but that was funny.
I haven't watched that one yet, nor Happen Leonard either. I want to watch that one too.
I haven't watched Happen Leonard, but yes, the Dirk Gently, the holistic detective,
yep.
Was weird and violent and hilarious. It was so weird.
I remember reading the books ages and ages and ages ago.
Once I realized who wrote it, it made perfect sense to me.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but at first, my first episode, I didn't realize who wrote it, so I didn't, I was like, okay, well, this is pretty odd, but it's fun. And then, once I realized who wrote it, I was like, okay, that makes so much more sense.
Okay, well, as we are counting down to the 1 minute tone, why don't you throw out some contact information? How can people find Dark Recesses Press and Bailey Hunter?
DarkRecessesPress.com, just as it sounds, and that's our website. You can find Dark Recesses on Facebook, same thing, just dark.recesses is our main thing, but just look for Dark Recesses, you'll find it. And if you're looking for me specifically, I am on Facebook as The Bailey Hunter. So, yeah, I had to have the in there because I'm special.
The or the, however you're pronouncing
I am the Bailey Hunter.
Okay, then. Well, that's good to know. Good to know.
And Twitter, Slave to Coffee. Dark Recesses is just Dark Recesses.
Okay. And none of those other weird other social media things other than those?
Those are the main ones. I don't have enough time for every social media thing out there. I have more than I need already.
Gotcha.
Too many things.
Well, Bailey, thank you very much for coming on the show. Appreciate it tremendously.
Thank you so much for having me. And yes, you should come, Jack. You should come to Scares the Care, by the way. Yes, I saw that. Scroll on by. But yeah.
Excellent.
It was great. Thank you so much. I appreciate the time.
And everybody out there in After Rot Line, thank you very much for coming in again this Wednesday. Come back every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on whatever dial you're going to play with. Every Wednesday. Check us out on the Facebooks. Check us out on the Twitters. Check us out on the other parts of the web. Have fun and have yourself an amazingly after-rotten good time.
Have a big surprise. If you go down in the woods today, you better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day that teddy bears have their pick.